You are listening to The Healthcare Insider, a radio show by and for the movers, shakers, and innovators in the healthcare industry.
All right, and welcome back to the show. This is The Healthcare Insider. I am your host, Todd Schnick, joined by my friend and colleague, Joe Lavelle. Joe, you know, we have kicked off our Meaningful Use Roundtable series and had some interesting conversations today. I'm looking forward to today's conversation. Here's a company really diving in and serving a very important market.
Oh, yeah, Todd. It's always great to have thought leaders, especially vendors that are really helping lots of customers through these challenges.
Absolutely. Well, let's get right to it. We're joined today by David Henriksen. He's the CEO of Nextech Systems. David, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Todd. Great to be here.
Well, it's great to have you. Thanks for joining us. Before we get into our important conversation, David, take a few quick seconds and inform the audience about you and your background.
Sure. Thank you. I'm currently the president CEO at Nextech. I joined the company in January. Prior to that, I've spent probably the last almost 15 years in healthcare information technology, both on the outpatient side as well as on the acute care side, with companies such as GE, McKesson, and CareStream.
Okay, so have you worked with any large organizations in this space? I'm being So tell us all about Nextech. Give us the 10,000-foot view. What do you do? How do you serve your market?
Sure. Nextech is a company that was founded in 1997. They are an integrated technology company focused on a few subspecialties in the healthcare IT market, largely plastic surgery, dermatology, and ophthalmology. And we provide an entire portfolio of software and services, practice management, electronic health records, marketing, inventory, and patient engagement solutions. We're really about helping our customers achieve optimal levels of efficiency and productivity in clinical care, leveraging our technology and services.
That's great. How did you decide on those specialties, and are there other specialties you're looking into advancing into?
Well, it's a really good question, Joe. Back in 1997, when the company was founded, our founder, Dr. Kamal Majeed, had developed technology for image management in the plastic surgery market. And he ultimately sold that technology, but remained intrigued by that particular specialty. So he developed a practice management system at the time. What is unique about plastic surgery is what is unique about all the specialties that we serve. You still have largely independent practitioners. They see a very high volume of patient visits in a given day. There is a blend of medical and cosmetic. There is a fair amount of cash-based business as opposed to just relying wholly on insurance, either commercial or government. And they tend to be paid well, and they tend to embrace technology, I think, in a holistic way. So when we started in 1997, we sort of logically moved into similar specialties, high patient volumes, cash pay as a decent percentage of total revenue, image management being a piece of workflow and requirements, device connectivity. So that logically led us into dermatology and ophthalmology. We manage a lot of data, again, high patient volumes, and ultimately moved out of practice management into clinical applications. And then we didn't just want to be a typical vendor providing practice management and EHR. We wanted to automate as much of the operations of the practice as possible. So that led us into marketing, into supply chain management, into analytics, and into patient engagement. So we really have a full capability of solutions. When we think about maybe other specialties, what would look similar to the characteristics that I just shared with you? And there are some thoughts that we have kicked around. We haven't made any formal announcements to go into other specialties, but you could look at things that are still have surgery capabilities as part of them, image management. So that would make you think about potentially orthopedics. You could look at things like cosmetic dentistry. I mean, there are a host of other possible specialties. But for now, we're very focused on the three that I mentioned. We do have customers that fall very close to those specialties, but might not fit totally in the way I've classified them. And our growth is probably not in maybe new specialties, but we certainly are intrigued by what's going on around the globe with the adoption of information technology in our specialties. And I think we can continue to grow our portfolio here in the U.S. and the specialties that we serve.
Well, shame on me for not really thinking more deeply on this. But when I think of an organization like yours providing a solution to a practice, I was thinking, all right, well, we know what we got here. There's a generic box of services that you can put on the shelf and sell, but you really do need to think about the specialties, and there's a lot of different applications there. I mean, so walk me through. So if I'm a specialty practice,
right,
And I'm saying it's time for me to really engage in this and get the support I need. What are some things I need to think about in terms of the decision I make on who I bring on as my partner on that?
It's a very good question, Todd. And it's at the root of, I think, what we do as a company. We're eventually going to talk about meaningful use at some point this morning. And I would say that meaningful use has been a positive driver to get practices thinking about adopting technology. But we encourage them to think beyond that when they do make their decision. So for example, we've got this thing called ICD-10, which is, you know, going to face us by October 1st of next year.
We hope.
We hope, exactly. And so revenue cycle and efficient charge capture and running an efficient back office operation is also something we would ask our customers to consider as they look at our clinical solutions. All of our specialties need to think about how do they generate demand? So how do you reach out to a potential patient who might be considering an elective procedure, not a medical procedure? And how might they reach that potential customer, create demand, and then create a returning customer after they have certain elective procedures? How do they manage inventory? So things like creams and emollients and polishes, all these types of things that are part of the supply chain of our practices, well, they need to be integrated into the procedural workflow into the practice. So all that being said, we ask them to think about their entire operation. And if they are going to make a meaningful use decision, how do you integrate that with the rest of your operations? And that usually is where a practice in the specialties that I mentioned would pick Nextech.
Got it.
David, you know, as we've entered the meaningful use era, I think that companies like yours are so important. And the background I put out there on this is, on the provider side, there's hospitals and there's physician offices.
Right.
Hospitals have IT staffs, and they can read meaningful use regulations and try and formulate a strategy. Well, many physician offices don't have large IT staffs, and most of their people either wait on patients or bill patients. They don't have what I call our thinking people. Tell us about the unique challenges you've had the last 4 or 5 years in coming up with solutions for meaningful use and really helping your customers through that, as they don't have these, what I call, thinking people that maybe a lot of hospitals have.
Well, Joe, your description of the delineation between the acute care environment and the outpatient environment is exactly correct. We at Nextech see that environment every single day. Just a quick side note on meaningful use, because there's a lot of debate on the merits of meaningful use, both in acute care and in the outpatient world. And I will say, for our market and for our customers, one of the things I think we can all agree on is that adoption levels have increased significantly in the era of meaningful use. So if we can get all our practices automated, ultimately connected, sharing data, looking at analytics, creating better care plans, I think that's good for the industry as a whole. So while we can debate the good or the bad or the timeliness or the imposition of meaningful use, at Nextech we would say, well, at least adoption levels have gone up, and that's a good outcome from the initiative of meaningful use. Back to your question, though, our practices look a lot like what you just described. Now, we do serve larger environments that happen to have savvy administrators and chief operating officers and CIOs that can drive the successful implementation of technology and achievement of meaningful use. But many practices, whether they're our customers or in the more general market today, are small and don't have the types of resources that you've described. We think it's our responsibility at Nextech to fill the void as much as we can. And specifically with meaningful use, now there may be voids in IT resources and networking and all of these other things, but to speak specifically about meaningful use, we have really looked internally to say we need to provide the resources necessary to our customers to help them capture the data, report the data, and optimize their workflow around meaningful use requirements. And we largely do that as a non-billable service, just a get our hands dirty, get with our customers, and help them understand what needs to be done. And we just do that as a valued partner and a trusted advisor to them on a regular basis.
That's great. So tell me, as you're helping your customers through that and they're making decisions, and maybe they use your practice management system and they're trying to decide on an EHR or a medical record system going forward, tell us about the merits of choosing a complete certified EHR versus kind of a modular or a best of breed.
Right. Well, a couple of things that we would say. And I will give one diverted answer, Joe, to your question. Apologies. But if somebody has our practice management system, the first conversation we would have with them is, if you are looking for an EHR, we're a logical choice because you can use the same database, the same data model, the same patient demographics, the same charges, the same codes, all of those things. So you don't have the complexity of duplicate information in your database or errors in your database or information not going back and forth from front desk or billing to the providers because of the lack of an integrated system. So because we're integrated, we think we have a value proposition around that first and foremost. Specifically, perfect. Sorry, and I'll get back to your question directly. Sorry for the diversion. But specifically around modular EHR versus a complete EHR on the certification side, I think it's really just around complexity or simplicity if you're a complete certified EHR. If you're modular, you're imposing upon your customer the combination of different solutions that you need to bundle together to get to meaningful use and to get your successful attestation and ultimately to get your incentive dollars. Or now we're talking about avoiding penalties, if you can believe that we've come that far now in meaningful use. So I think it really is around simplicity with a complete EHR. There's other things that can happen in the world of technology, which is when one of those solutions, one of those modular solutions might upgrade to a different version. Have they done all the testing and compatibility with the other components? And again, you're just putting an imposition on the practice. Meaningful use is challenging enough. It's another area of focus for our practices, which are already very, very busy today. So our goal with a complete EHR and the other services we provide is to make it as simple, as straightforward, and as quick as possible.
All right. Well, David Henriksen will return after this quick break. We'll be right back.
At Javion, we know that healthcare providers do remarkable things every day. And we understand the pressures and challenges providers face in today's healthcare system. That's why we are helping providers by predicting and preventing financial and clinical waste. Through a suite of big data software solutions that combine clinical intelligence with deep machine learning technologies, we can stop the waste of resources and lives by stopping losses before they ever happen. And by doing this, we help providers focus on what they do best, delivering care. Javion, we help providers stay remarkable. Visit javion.com.
All right, and we're back with David Henriksen, CEO of Nextech Systems.
Some great information so far, David. Thank you for that. Tell us, as we're emerging from stage one to stage two, some of the key challenges that are different from stage one.
Well, I would say the two big categories that differentiate stage one and stage two, in my mind, are utilization. So a lot of the requirements for the measures and the implementation or utilization have increased significantly between stage one and stage two. And then the other is certainly bringing the patient more closely into the equation of meaningful use. This may be a little bit of my personal opinion. I might deviate a bit from the Nextech platform with this comment. But if you look at the U.S. healthcare system today, I think one of the overall challenges, independent of meaningful use or technology or anything along those lines, is the engagement of the patient. And we can have, there's lots of discussions and lots of debate about what might drive that. Might it be economics? Might it be just being indifferent about your health or whatever it might be? But I think it is challenging for our customers and for the outpatient market as a whole to effectively engage the patient in this thing called meaningful use and in the collaboration over a technology platform. I applaud meaningful use for doing this because I do think it's a very important equation in solving the healthcare challenges in the U.S. today. And we help our customers in this area in a couple of ways. One is we do have our own patient portal application. I mentioned that we're an integrated provider so that the portal is running off the same database and connecting to the practice management system and the EHR in a very seamless manner. And then also, as I mentioned, we have other ways for our customers to reach out and engage with their patients. And so the benefit that our practices, I think, have seen is that they're used to the practice reaching out to them electronically anyway. in more of a marketing capacity, I recognize, but at least they were used to that interaction. And now that we talk about meaningful use, those patients are a little more comfortable, I think, with an electronic interaction with our practices in administrative and billing and clinical realms. And so I think that has been positive for our practices. But at the same time, patient engagement is deeper and richer in stage two. And I think it's going to continue to be a big area of high effort for our customers as well as the outpatient market in general.
Help me understand what you mean by patient engagement. We talk all the time on the show about that with predictive analytics, we can now be more proactive in a patient's care. Is that what you're talking about? Or help me get a clear understanding of what you mean by
that. Well, it's a very good question, Todd. And I was probably referring to it at more its basic level, which is patients electronically connected to their physicians and scheduling appointments, getting their test results, doing follow-up interaction with the practice, all of that being done electronically is still, I think, relatively new, at least in the outpatient market in the U.S. healthcare system. And if you even think about, and some of this has to do with the practice behavior as well, but if you even think about your annual physical exam in the realm of primary care, well, my physician, I won't name who they are, doesn't let me know when I'm due for a physical exam. And yet my Delta Airlines app tells me exactly what gate my flight is going out of and what time it's departing and if it's delayed. That's just my flight.
You can change your seat if you want to.
Exactly. And so I wonder how long it will be before both patients and providers are engaging in that way. You're overdue for an important test or your annual physical. If you're a diabetic, your requirement for tests and reviews is much more frequent. And if we do this much better and we do it much more efficient, the positive impacts on our healthcare system are significant. And so I was referring to that type of electronic interaction, Todd, when I referred to patient engagement. And we are a big believer in mobility and apps and those types of things as being part of the solution. And I think someday the relationship that I have with Delta and Marriott, you can tell that I travel a lot on my iPhone, will hopefully be the same that I have with my dermatologist and my primary care physician and my urologist and all these other people that I'm going to have to see now that I'm an aging male in my life. And that will be good for the system as a whole, as well as for my own personal health.
But do you think, so thinking about predictive analytics and what's possible and customized care and customize prescriptions and those kinds of things. I mean, it seems to me that if we do this patient engagement now with meaningful use, it sets a bigger, stronger, better foundation for the adoption of that kind of stuff down the road, yeah?
You're absolutely correct. And I think sometimes it's important for us in the healthcare system to understand the ultimate objectives here. Adopting an EHR is just step one in really a long path of getting to exactly what you talked about, which is we get everybody automated, we get them connected, we get them sharing data, we start to create databases that have thousands and millions of patient records against which we can run analytics, and we can start to know for a male aged 47 like myself in the next 5 years, in the next 10 years, this is what I'm most susceptible to. And if I take these certain actions and I get certain interventions from my physicians, I can deter a whole host of potential problems. So that's where we want to go. And meaningful use, again, I would say we could argue the merits, the requirements, the way it's been rolled out. But if we keep the end in mind, it has moved us down a very good path.
Well, David, isn't this the fascinating part of meaningful use? If you had been on our show 4 years ago, we'd be talking about smoking cessation and 30% CPOE.
That's right.
Maybe you could give us a few examples in your system how you're implementing, for example, integration with some wearables or how you're thinking about things like that as, you know, to really take advantage of the foundation we've laid down the last 5 or 6 years.
Well, what we do, and Joe, if you want me to take the answer in a different direction, please let me know. But in our technology, I think we are very focused on where we're at right now, which is getting our providers to higher utilization levels and efficacy levels in their clinical treatment of patients. What we've done specifically with meaningful use, which is probably not as far as your question was going, but to maybe take us back a few steps, is we make sure that through technology, they are capturing at the point of care the right information for achieving meaningful use. And we largely do that through basic electronic templating. So it's not even overly complex from a technology perspective. 3 or 4 years ago, Joe, as you mentioned, I think physicians were thinking, gosh, my entire patient interaction, the entire episode, the visit, the encounter is going to have to change because I've got to document this stuff that I normally didn't document, and it's going to be intrusive to my interaction. And what we've been able to do with basic templating and our mobile application, which is largely based on the Apple platform, is we keep the provider in front of the patient. We make it easy to capture the type of information that they need. And everything is just as smooth and just as fast as it always was with the patient in the exam room. That was most important to our customers when it came to achieving meaningful use.
Well, David, you know, you talked about the importance of this rigor of data collection and how that's really a core meaningful use. What are some of the other big aha moments that you've had to educate and communicate to your physician partners and practices?
Well, I think the other piece of it, Joe, and certainly our primary effort was around the point of care documentation pieces, as I've described. But capturing the data is only one piece of it. As you move further into meaningful use, there are requirements for reporting and then ultimately attestation. And so, as I mentioned at the beginning of our segment, we felt it was our responsibility to do all of those things to assist our customers with successful attestation. And so we do assist them with the analytics around the data. We actually will assist them with the attestation process as well. And frankly, what's going on now in meaningful use, as you all probably know, is that there are now audits that are occurring on behalf of CMS to ensure that things were done with integrity. And so we'll actually step in and assist our customers with addressing any audit questions that they might get as well. One of the things we're most proud of at Nextech is that 100% of our providers who wanted to achieve meaningful use have successfully attested. And I think it is because of paying attention to what happens at the point of care and getting the right documentation without impeding the patient-provider interaction or slowing down our providers. And then all of the other steps that are involved, data analytics, reporting, attestation, potentially responding to an audit, those are all big pieces of it. Todd, you and Joe know that physicians in this country today are really busy, and they're really busy taking care of an aging population that is largely growing less and less healthy, and there are not enough providers to go around to provide the necessary care. Any aversion to meaningful use, in my opinion, is probably rooted in that reality. It's not that providers don't understand the benefits of technology, predictive analytics, Todd, as you talked about. So we're trying to step in and assist with the additional burden and the additional time that is required. Because as we talked about before, the end state looks pretty bright, but we've got to help our providers get there.
Anything to talk about with regards to interoperability? I mean, you addressed it a bit with the complete versus modular, but it seems to me that that's trending in a good direction.
Agreed.
But as someone is diving into this, anything they ought to be thinking about in terms of dealing with that issue?
Well, Todd, it's a very good point, and I would probably go back, and when I talk about the challenges of technology adoption in this market and in this country, I mentioned patient engagement. I would say interoperability is probably the other one. And the reality is I think we want to foster innovation and capabilities that are done in a modular way. There are standalone analytics companies. There are standalone prescription companies, there are standalone reporting companies. We have a relationship at Nextech with Nuance, who is the speech recognition company, and we provide a very valuable technology to our customers in conjunction with Nuance called NextSpeak, where they can do speech recognition right into that template that's capturing the right data for meaningful use or just for documentation for their patients. And this is eliminating a huge cost around transcription historically that has plagued the market. Well, being able to do those types of things is rooted in efficient interoperability. And so your question around what would we tell our customers is that this is going to be a part of the equation going forward. And even though we are an integrated system, because we want our offices to be managing essentially one database to get their work done in all the operations of the practice, not just clinical, not just billing, not just scheduling, but inventory and marketing and patient engagement, like I talked about. But there are still things you're going to need to connect to. health information exchanges, state registries, disease registries. Being in the markets that we are, cancer, skin cancer, for example, is a major issue for the patients that our customers are serving. And so being able to tap into databases and analytics and registries around skin cancer is very important for our customers, and it's very good for healthcare. We have made some progress, Todd, as you've talked about. It's trending in the right direction. The HL7 standard is helpful. The CCDA, now kind of documentation exchange standard, is helping. I think all of us as vendors need to realize that we are going to operate in an interoperable world going forward, and that's what's right for the healthcare system. I do think a lot of the burden does fall on us as vendors. Maybe not the burden, the responsibility falls on us as vendors to make sure we're highly interoperable, because that will be good for our customers and good for healthcare as a whole.
Right. Well, David, I hate to say it, but we are running low on time, although we have really enjoyed our conversation and hope that you'll come back to the show. And there's a lot more to discuss about this whole industry, and I suspect you have a lot to say on it. So I hope you will come back. But for now, before I let you go, how can people get in touch with you and learn more about Next Tech Systems?
Well, probably the best way to get in touch with us is at our website, www.nexttech.com. And then certainly people can get a hold of me directly at d.henriksen@nexttech.com. And we're always anxious to hear from anyone who has a question about our company or our capabilities.
David Henriksen, the CEO of Next Tech Systems. David, it was a real pleasure. Thanks for stopping by and joining us.
Thank you very much for having me, Todd.
Pleasure was ours. All right, well, that wraps this episode. On behalf of our guest, David Henriksen, my co-host, Joe Lavelle, I am Todd Schnick. We'll see you soon on the Healthcare Insider.